Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hameen, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM 360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM 360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the hosts or hostesses of AM 360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance. Now Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
and the walls came tumbling down. Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Assalamu alaikum. God Monday morning. God Monday morning. Ramadan Mubarak. The final Monday morning of Ramadan. Final few days. How are you, sister?
Alhamdulillah. I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Alhamdulillah. I'm vertical, and I'm holding it together.
That's the first step.
The first step. Holding it together. It's been a long weekend. It seems like Ramadan has been long and short at the same time. I don't know. Did it feel like that for you?
Yeah, sometimes it is like that. I heard one of the imams say yesterday that in the beginning it seems like it's so long, it's taking so long every day, and then at the end it seems like, wow, everything is going by so quickly, you know. Of course, we are in these last 10 nights, so we're searching out for that night of decree, the night of power, each night. And so our focus is really sharpened As we know that Ramadan will be leaving soon, you know, and sometimes when we know that it's approaching, we're like, oh, Ramadan is coming. And then when it's leaving, we're like, oh, Ramadan is leaving. So it's that those mixed emotions are there with Ramadan every year, every year.
Yeah, it's a good feeling, though.
It is. But, you know, talking about the weekend, or that we mention and ask those in our listening audience to make a special supplication or dua for our Imam Abu Qada Al-Amin of the San Francisco Muslim Community Center, who is having some health challenges. And keep him in your dua, and all of those who we know, family, friends, and neighbors who are sick. And we want to also mention that our brother Fleming, our co-host, he will not be on the broadcast today because he's had a death in his family. So we say, from God we come, and to God is our return. And we make dua for him and his family during this time of challenge, and pray for their strength and faith, God willing.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you for saying it. That was the challenge we were facing this weekend. Making it a hard, long weekend.
Yeah,
long, short weekend.
So,
we have a dynamic show, but I want to let's recap the weekend on the local front. It seems like every Monday we are coming on the show and talking about the mass shooting. Just cannot stay out of the news cycle, and I'm a little I don't know if the word's perplexed or reticent to want to talk about it, because it's almost like they're trying to make it into the news cycle, right? So I don't know if we should keep talking about it or. Because nothing is being done. So are these copycats or these people who, is there really this much anger that you have to shoot up?
Well,
and the people,
you know,
that, look at who's being killed. Look at who's being killed. This is a 16-year-old birthday party.
Yes.
Go ahead, sister.
Yes. A woman who was an expecting mother was shot. I don't believe you know, I think that we have to start to look beyond just the gun laws. We have to look at those things in the culture that promote and encourage violence as the normal resolution to disagreements or grievances. And so people are getting that from every angle, from the movies. I can remember I looked at, I think it was a series that was on Netflix, and the aesthetics of the series was beautiful. You know, the set design, the music, the story was one of vengeance, but there was so much violence. And then after I looked at it, I was like, wow, they really are trying to dose you up on, you know, killing and maiming and shooting. And you look at how people drive crazy on the freeway. Well, Fast and Furious number 5 or 10, whatever one it is in that franchise, as they put. And so you wonder why, you know, Allah in the Quran tells us that he created man from sounding clay, you know. So the human being, we take in our environment. we just don't feed on food. We feed on our environment also. So if the environment is saying, you know, beat up, shoot up, drive like a maniac, if it's saying all of those things, the subconscious picks that up and we start acting out on that. And so if you have guns readily available, you know, all the states that are getting rid of the red flag laws or getting rid of the waiting periods or making it easy to just permitless carry, you know, open carry. So now we've gone back to the 1700s and 1800s where everybody is a gunslinger with a gun on their hip talking about I'm standing my ground. And so it's, you know, people have to get back to that core, moral core. If you're Christian, you know, thou shalt not kill. You know, as Muslims, we believe in the sanctity of life. You know, we only should fight to defend when we have to defend ourselves, you know, but in extreme, you know, we have the example of the prophet. He was physically persecuted and hit with rocks and scorned, but he took all of that before he didn't want to fight until he was given the command to fight. So we need to get back to that core of peace. Let's be people of peace. If we're people of faith, America professes to be a country of faith. You have the Abrahamic traditions in America. Then why isn't there more peace? You know, Muslims aren't the only ones that greet themselves or greet one another with peace. You have Christ Jesus in the Bible talking about peace. You know, peace be unto you. In Islam, we say, As-salamu alaykum. That's just the Arabic for peace be unto you. You have the Judaism, shalom alaykum, you know, peace be unto you. So we just have to have more emphasis in the culture of the society on peace and people getting along and resolving issues through talking it out instead of shooting it out, you know. So, I mean,
I agree with you, and I totally agree with you. And for the
go ahead. I talk too much. You go ahead.
No. The politicians. No. I want to agree with you.
They uh-huh. You know, is so much pressure on them to get reelected. You know, they're campaigning all the time, and you have all of this, as they say, dark money that comes into their campaigns from not just the NRA, but the gun manufacturers also. No one's talking about the gun manufacturers and their lobby and how much they donate to these different campaigns. And so, you know, I was encouraged, though, by the people of Tennessee standing up to that gerrymandered legislature in terms of restoring the two young brothers, the two Justins, to their positions in the state legislature to represent the people of Tennessee, the children of Tennessee who are tired of being scared and afraid for their life simply going to school. So I found that as an encouraging note. And hopefully, you know, that movement that they're spearheading, hopefully that movement will grow. So that's...
Yes. I'm very hopeful of that. But I will say that politicians who curb because of the money, they were going to do it anyway. They don't. There's a pressure, and you know that as an elected official, I will say that yes, there's I've been in a few campaigns. I will just say yes, there is a bit of a pressure. to raise money. But we also know that when we're doing these campaigns, all money is not good money. And the money that you take, he's the money that you're responsible for. And he says something about who you are, what your values are, and what you're what you stand for. And it's a perfect segue into what we're going to be talking about today. It's April. It is Financial Fitness Month. It's Financial Literacy Month. And, talking about money is just not a comfortable subject for us. And how that money can translate to good or to violence is many people don't make that connection. But when we're talking politics and we're talking, that old saying, money is the root of all evil. Money, but then we have people who, when you don't have any money, you can say that. When you have money, you can say that. When you don't have money, it can also cause a lot of harm, physiologically, psychologically, sociologically. But there's a lot underneath that we're going to unpack today. We're going to take a break in a moment before we introduce the first guest. But but all of these starts, it doesn't just start with a movie like Fast and Furious or a movie like The Godfather or movies like what we see now in our television or what we hear in music, whether it's rap or country or hardcore rock music. It doesn't just start there. One of the biggest movies out right now is Super Mario Brothers. And if you look at what they've done with that movie, it is super violent. And it's a child movie. But if you look at it, it is super violent. And it came from a video game that was not that violent. But they made it super violent. Right? And so the undercurrent theme of violence that you're talking about starts when our children are very young. And going about bringing it back to money, you collect coins. You collect coins in these video games. And those coins allow you to buy another life, to buy more ventures, to buy more. So we are actually undercover teaching children about money in these video games if only we help them understand the value of it. But we don't. We don't help them. All they think is I'm getting these coins so I can get some more playing time. Not I'm buying these coins because these coins represent money, which represents additional chances, which represents this in life. I'm a scientist, so I always look deeper into things, and this is what I want to look deeper into today. I want to look into how we look at financial literacy and how economic empowerment and how we create and build strong and sustainable communities. And the crux of that is getting comfortable with the uncomfortable subject of money. What you have and what you don't have, what credit building, not having it. I have a friend who said, I didn't even know that 300 was a real score. Yeah, that's yours. It's a bad. Right? It's no good.
Wow.
850 is where you want to go.
That's no score, huh?
There's
but you know what?
Score. Yeah, I think you get 300 when you sign, if you can spell your name right, right? Not sure.
If you do more than an X
go
in
ahead,
the signature
madam.
Block.
But
now
look
at the point that you're making. So they took this. What was it? It was Mario in the 70s, 80s, whatever. They took this video game, retro video gamed it to the present. Then they made it a movie. There's money all in that. There's economics all in that. So now I'm going to produce and make a movie. So do I have a strong moral base or do I chase after more money? How can I make this movie a blockbuster movie? You know, it's like a recipe. I have to put a little bit of adventure in it. I have to put a little bit of speed in it. But I have to put a lot of violence in it. And so the violence is going to sell that movie because it's going to broaden your audience. It's going to appeal to adult or teenagers and adults too, not just the little kiddies. So it's a money motivation there. And in that sense, you could say, well, money is the root of that evil. But money in itself is not the root of evil. It's the value that you place on money. If you place a value on money that is more than you place on the value of another human being, then that's where the evil comes in. But if you place a value on money where you're going to help society and build society up, or give money to those who are in need of money, and like we financial literacy, be able to empower our communities, then you're using money for the good, as I say.
Absolutely.
So
absolutely.
That's interesting about Mario. I didn't know that. It's very interesting.
Yes, it was huge. Mm-hmm. So let's take a quick break, and then I want to bring on Jared Gaines, who's going to, I'm going to bring him on first, and then I want to bring on this Stephisha Ikoe Walton. But I want to bring on Jared quickly, because I know he has more of a time element to get out of here. But we've got a great lineup this morning for you. So let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Great.
God's peace be upon you. God's love be upon you. God's compassion be upon you, the one soul of humanity. May we let it be in thought and in action. On behalf of CWSC Intelligentsia, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected, American Muslim 360, the Speakers Bureau, the Model Community National Resource Directory, the Volunteer Human Resource Network, Scholarship, the Learning Lab, Ambassadors, National Leadership Advisory Council, Internship, Leadership Development Council, the Think Tank, Strategic Family Institute, the bookstore. May we share completely humanity in spirit and in form, from thought to action. God's peace, God's love, God's compassion. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. This is Latifa A. Hamid, CEO for AM360. I would like to extend Ramadan Mubarak to all Muslims. As we approach Ramadan, let us be mindful that this is a month that is dedicated only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ramadan quotes by Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "When the month of Ramadan arrives, the door of mercy is open. Fasting is a shield that will protect you from the hellfire and prevent you from sin. Ramadan is the month whose beginning is mercy, whose middle is forgiveness, and whose end is freedom from hellfire. Every action a son of Adam does shall be multiplied. A good action by 10 times its value, up to 700 times. Allah says, with the exception of fasting, which belongs to me, and I reward it accordingly. For one abandons his desire and food for my sake. There are two occasions of joy for the fasting person. One when he breaks his fast, and the other when he meets his Lord. And bad breath of the fasting person is better in the sight of Allah than the fragrance of musk. O Allah, we seek you, your help, and we ask you for faith that doesn't fade, blessings that do not deplete, and the company of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the highest level of your paradise. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu, and Ramadan Mubarak."
join us live every Wednesday morning from 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time with host Naima Latif and yours truly, Imam Kareem Hamid, presenting The Female Solution. We look forward to your presence. Assalamu alaikum.
All right, we're back. So, good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. So our first guest, I wanted to start us off with Brother Gaines. He is he's got 30 years, over 30 years of financial industry experience. He takes this very 360 approach, 180, 360 approach, a very eagle-eye approach to teaching life and health and wellness approach to looking at your financial fitness from a very holistic. I met him years ago. We were out talking about I think we were at an event, and he does this education. Not only is he in the industry, but he does the education for young teens and adults. And I love his saying he has about knowledge is power, but only when you apply it. Brother Gaines, I believe I just...
Yes, ma'am. Good morning.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. Yes, we can. We can hear you. I wanted just to take a few minutes to talk about why it's important that we start talking about financial literacy young, to young people. We had a conversation at an event last week that there's a bill in the California Assembly right now, the legislature right now, about making sure that financial literacy is in our schools and is being challenged. And I'm befuddled because I had this in the Midwest. This was one of the things that was just, we just had it. I learned how to read stock market reports when I was 7, 8 years old. My stepfather made sure we knew how to read it. I had stock when I was 7, 8 years old because I was interested in it. I had some in Union Electric where he worked. I had some in McDonnell Douglas where my mom worked because they had stock and I was interested. And so they gave me a little bit of stock and I started reading it. And I would read it and I kept track of it every day. But they don't get that here. My children got it. I advocated for Albany schools, and they learned how to write checks, even though that wasn't a popular thing. So why is it necessary to start children young? Can you talk to us about this? Why?
Well, I think you said it. As you probably have heard, and I think all of us can relate, The sooner a person starts learning about anything, the more it becomes a part of them and what they seek out in their everyday lives. We don't talk about it, I think, because it's, like you said a little while ago, it's an uncomfortable subject for people because most people don't have, I won't even say abundance, they don't have what they need in a lot of cases to just survive. So we avoid talking about it because, you know, it brings up some difficult emotions to deal with. And if you're in a husband-wife relationship or, you know, whatever your partnership structure is, sometimes that brings up other, you know, things from our childhood even. Because, you know, so it's important, we got a little bit of a problem. You know, it's kind of like which came first, the chicken or the egg. Adults weren't taught, so in a lot of cases, they can't speak the right language to their kids. But it is imperative, if we're ever going to break this cycle, that we start thinking about it earlier, just like we learn a lot of things earlier. It is said our personality is developed by age 7. And if we don't start talking about money until high school or college, we're way behind. I mean, way behind. Yes. In some cases, we'll never recover because just like you guys were talking about the media and movies and advertising, they don't talk spending. They talk, I mean, they don't talk saving and investing. They talk spending. It's all about trying to get your money from your account into their account. And we have
to
start talking.
So how do you start the conversation?
Well, I think it's pretty simple, quite honestly. First, we've got to start practicing it because I use the kind of a metaphor. If, you know, when I was growing up, I remember having some adults around me that were addicted to nicotine and they were smoking and they knew it was bad for you and they'd be sitting there smoking a cigarette. And I'm like 8, 9, 7 years old or whatever the case, and they say, young man, whatever you do, don't ever pick up this habit as they take another drag. So I hear them. I hear what they're saying, but I know we've all heard the quote, your accent speaks so loudly, I can't hear what you're saying. And so our parents tell us you better save that for a rainy day, which is what my grandmother used to tell me. And I say, Mom, it's raining now. You know, but we've got to start talking about it earlier. We've got to tell kids, look, you went and babysit. You made $5. Of course, that's when I was a kid. And now you're making $25. Okay, you made $25. Save $2.50. Save 10%. Forget you got it. Save it. You'll be glad you did in the future. And we've got to keep harping that idea. And then we've got to learn the numbers, and we've got to show them what the numbers mean. If you save X number of dollars per year and it's earning in interest, hopefully compounded, you'll look up, you'll be 40 years old. Now, I know that's difficult for a 10-year-old to imagine being 40 or 50 or beyond, but we have to start thinking futuristically as well because none of us want to work until the day we drop dead and die. But we haven't learned to analyze the numbers as you did. We haven't learned. Some people don't even know what stock is. I remember when I first got into this industry 27 years ago, not to mention my other years, but I remember a guy saying, I didn't know anything about money. He says, as a matter of fact, when a guy said something about stock to me, and he grew up in the valley, he said, I thought stock had four legs. Of course, he's thinking animals. And that's kind of where a lot of people are. You ask the average person to tell me what stock is, and a lot of people can't even define it. So we've got to break that cycle. Let me just say something about this bill that's in Congress. I talked to a retired elected official in Oakland that someone referred me to, and I said, because I knew a few other states had legislation that had been approved, and actually a few people with our company were instrumental in getting that passed. And I talked to him, and I said, man, we've got to get financial literacy in high schools and even earlier so kids can start thinking about this. And I said, we need to get a bill on the legislature and see if we can get that passed. He said, oh, that'll never happen. And, of course, you know, I didn't believe that. And I just kept talking to people. And then I hear on the news one day that they had a bill introduced and that the governor had allocated, I think, $80 million for financial literacy.
But it's still not there yet. There's still opposition.
And my concern is they're going to teach stuff like other states that have passed it. They're teaching how to balance a checkbook. You ask the 20-year-old today, do you have a checkbook? They're like, no. They might not even know what a check is, you know, because if they're working, they're getting direct deposit. They don't get a check. It's in their account instantly. they use their apps, the different apps that we all have, all of these different apps that we can pay bills by, send people money, spend money. And it's all about, again, you get the money. We want to see how long, how quick we can get it from your account into our account.
Now, I want you to hold that thought. I'm going to bring on someone else, but I want you to hold that thought because I think that's part of the problem. And I'm going to say that, and I want to say it to everybody. They don't know how to balance a checkbook, but it's not necessarily a checkbook. They don't know how to balance accounts. And I think one of the most fundamental things you start with financial fitness, is learning how to balance a checkbook. Because I also know a bunch of trainers. I went into a classroom and I asked them that. I put on the board, because I also teach, but I teach financial fitness. So I teach financial basics 101 to people with significant disabilities. I teach at the elementary school and the high school level, and I teach them this. And I teach them this one lesson just to see where they are. How many of you have ever written a check? And they've never written a check. And while I think it's great that we have all these apps, they've never written a check. But then I ask them another question. How many of you have ever paid overdraft fees? Ooh. And all the hands went up. You know why? You know why? Because they're doing virtual accounting. So while it's great that we have all of these electronic things, they're giving away their money. They're giving away $2 here, $5 here, $10 here, because we're not teaching them how to write a check. We're not teaching them how to balance a checkbook. We're not teaching them that, okay, $50 went in, but you took $54 out because you're overdrafted. That's where I am. But hold on to that thought. I'm gonna put you on hold for a moment because I wanna bring in another dynamic to this discussion. So hold on. This lady here, Señora Stevisha Ikoy Walton. Good morning. Before you speak, I want to let me tell people about you really quick.
Okay.
When we met last week, what a connection. She is the regional vice president for America. But what stood out to me is, well, I'm 5'1", and she's not. Not only does she stand tall. Not only does she stand tall, Sister Matala, but she was. We were at the makeshift, and I got to say it so I don't mispronounce the word. Makeshift happen. A women's summit last week, and we were talking, and we were in this particular space about making sure our girls and our women were being properly educated on finances. And so she's a former PAC team competitor, and she played for Oregon State in basketball. She played in Europe. She even played one season in my country, Puerto Rico. And
that's right.
She was going to go to medical school and decided to do this financial career. I wanted to get, you heard the discussion just now, but I wanted you to talk about, I love your saying, everyone has a purpose in life, and the purpose is to positively impact the lives around you. And she's raising her son with this belief. Talk to us about this, because this impact of the internet and not having this basic skill continues to perpetuate this cycle of debt. Where do we start at breaking this cycle of debt in our community?
That's a great question. And first, before I even answer your question, thank you for having me today. It's definitely most pleasure to be here. I just want to, celebrate everybody who's in the spirit of Ramadan. May your continued days be, amazing and full of abundance. But to answer your question, where do we start? We start with allowing people to be transparent without being judged about their financial situation. So there was something that was mentioned, and, you know, for me, it stuck with me when I heard somebody say, you're never going to find a mother on welfare who's extremely wealthy. She'll never be wealthy doing
that,
right? And for me, that
That's right.
does because, you know, we have things that pass in the Senate or, you know, just in our local counties that say, okay, well, if you have an extra child, we're not going to pay you more because, you know, you just stay on the system to have more children. That just sounds crazy, right? But then we look at other things like you guys were just talking about. I was so excited to hear about it, that SB4 bill, right, where we talk about the financial literacy in schools. We were just having this conversation. In high school, we had an economics course, but nobody ever taught us about the checkbook. You might have gotten it in home ec, possibly for like a half of a week, but when you do consider the fact that we don't balance checkbooks anymore, but if you pull your 12 months worth of statements, you probably have a couple hundred dollars in overdraft fees. It just lets us know that we don't understand, you know, the difference between a profit and loss statement. And I think that's fundamental to life. So when we start to talk to our children about how they're going to get ahead, I think it all goes back to how our economy is naturally built. So we have a cycle of, you know, patrons or people who are put into the workforce cycle. And then we have, you know, a group of people who are put into an ownership cycle. And depending on which cycle you're put in, it's going to be a profit or loss cycle. So most times if you get put in a job cycle, right, where you never become a business owner, you never become an investor, and we can kind of throw that over to Robert Kiyosaki, right, cash flow quadrant. But if you never become an owner or an investor and we're stuck in a space of having a job and we don't have additional options for advancements, for promotions, for things like that, then we get our W-2. That gets raked of taxes and all of these other things, not considering the fact that the owner of the company is the one that actually gets all the tax breaks. So how do we get into the space of ownership, right, rather than just being in the space of a job? Because if we truly start to understand the difference between W-2s and 1099s, that's the first space of ownership, right, of balancing, you know, assets and liabilities and profits and losses. It's just business ownership versus our traditional 9-to-5. You know, this podcast is ownership. It brings so much value, you know. And so when you think about that and we bring it back to our children and how the cycle continues to, you know, perpetuate, I remember my parents dropped me off at college. They gave me one piece of advice. You want to know what it was? They said, don't get a credit card. When you see the booth on
yes.
campus.
That's right.
You know, what I'm talking about?
Same one.
Don't get a credit card. Don't do it, Steph. You're going
right.
to see the booth. It's going to look amazing. And so I followed mm-hmm. their advice. But let me tell you what it did to my confidence for a minute. I was at college. And I saw all these students around me, and I have not very yes. many of them look like me. I was going to school in Oregon. So when I see people who are able to order a Domino's pizza and add the extra breadsticks and get the extra cheese for $2 and get the 2-liter soda with an extra one for their friends, they pull out the card, they swipe it. See, for me, I was just told not to get a credit card, but I didn't understand the difference between a debit and a credit card. So when we go back to how do we educate, mm-hmm. it looks the same, but it's not the same. The debit card is your money. The credit card is somebody else's money that you're borrowing and have to pay it back with interest, right? So I didn't understand that, and I can remember calling home frustrated, and I called my aunt because I didn't want to offend my parents. I was the college student who overdrafted her bank account. I was the college student who was frustrated because everybody was able to perceivingly do the extra things because they perceivingly had money, but it wasn't really that. It was their parents' credit cards most times, and I didn't understand that until afterwards when we would all sit around and have conversations. But during that moment, to my confidence, that was financial stress. So when we talk about why are women in general, why are people in general not having this conversation, we could wrap it all up. probably in about 4 or 5 points, with the first one really just being financial stress. You know what I mean? Like, when my parents sent me to college, they were excited because we did it on scholarship. Otherwise, I would not have gone, not because they didn't work hard. My mom worked two jobs. And my dad would get up at 5 a.m. to go to work in San Jose. We lived in Vallejo. For those of you who aren't familiar, that's an hour drive with traffic. That's an hour and a half both ways. My godmom was instrumental in raising me. It took a village, legitimately. So when we talk about our parents doing their best, they did their best. But their best in that situation was not $100,000 good enough, because that's what it would have cost me over 4 years at that time to go to Oregon State. So when we say, how do we fix this? I think for me, we fix this by rallying for things like financial literacy in schools and not starting at the seventh grade. Not starting at the seventh grade. If my third grader can't efficiently and effectively go to the corner store, give a $5 bill, pay for a pack of cookies and an orange juice, and properly count his change, we have an issue. Because that means that you're in a space of now your illiterate nature can be taken advantage of for as long as you're illiterate. And so we have to get the workshops in schools. We have to do the college savings workshops. We have to do the financial literacy workshops. We have to bring parents out and have the conversations. You know, like at my son's school, we started a Black Family Council. It's to specifically target our Black families to say, hey, what's troubling you? Let's sit around and have some dinner tonight on this first Friday. We're going to make this feel like Sunday dinner, but we're going to talk about the real thing. And they say, I don't know who to trust when it comes to my money. I don't feel like I have enough money. I feel like I work so hard, and at the end, I have more months than I do money. If I had a $400 emergency, I don't even know how I'd take care of it, so how am I going to put away $25 a month, which I know is the minimum, but right now, I just can't do it. So sometimes, you know, we find ourselves in a space as women, you know, you got to think about it. We deal with the gender pay gap. For the most part, it's closing. But what about the wealth gap? That's a whole other conversation. So even though we might catch up an hourly pay, go ahead, please. Go ahead, jump in.
No, I wanted to talk about that because a couple of things. So when we earn more money, how do we get people to talk about earning more money and saving more money? I know that we were having a conversation about, I don't have any money to save. I've had this conversation with family about this, and they were like, well, how are you able to save up money? Well, you have a good job, so you can do it. Oh, well, you have a husband, so you can do it. No, let me tell you. I'm also very diligent, and I'm also pretty mean about saving money. You know, I when I set my goal or something, he wanted to buy a house, and so my husband was pretty mad too. No, you're not buying those extra shoes. You get one. You can't buy 6 Air Force Ones, bro. You get one.
Right.
You get one.
Right.
And it was just us, right? There was no children. It was just us, and we were living in a. When we first started out, we're living in a small apartment, and I saved, 5-year plan, and we were making good money, but not like we are now. And he was starting out as a longshoreman, and he was like, "There's no credit cards. If you're gonna buy it on credit, be able to pay for it in cash." And that seems to be, I think that that seems to be a hard thing for people, right? If I can't pay for it in cash, then I'm not going to charge it. I will not charge it. So, and I learned that from I learned this when I was growing up, my stepfather and my mom. And it was hard when you were a child because they had good money. You was an electrical engineer. My mom was an HR exec, but there were 6 of us. And they were like, I remember that Cosby Show episode where they said, they were like, "Oh, you guys are rich," and then she said, "No, Theo don't have any money."
We have none, but they don't have none. I remember that episode because that's how we were. They were like, you don't have any money. We have money, but you don't have any money, young lady. And I was sitting there thinking, no, we got money. But mom was like, no, you don't have any money. You got the money in your account. But when we started working, they would take our checks, and they would give us an allowance from our check. So what Mr. Gaines just said is very true.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's what I wanted to talk about, too, is that carry that tradition over into an adult. And Sister Amatala, you jump in, please. But I think the concept of when you earn money and you save it gets lost from childhood to adulthood, and we come up with all kind of reasons why we can't save. Can you talk to us about, like, the automatic savings aspect, right? If you have it automatically, you don't even see it, so you can't save it. So can you talk to us about
that? It's called dollar-cost averaging. Yeah, dollar-cost averaging, you guys. I think when it comes to saving and investing, you know, it is something of a habit. And so what a lot of people don't understand is you can go to most major investment firms and you'll be required to have, you know, more than a couple, you know, $1,000, you know, $50,000, $100,000, depending on the type of account you like, the type of interest you're trying to accomplish. You know, you'll pay quite a bit just to get started. But if you go to, you know, a company that is, you know, a broker of investments, then sometimes you find that you can get the same type of accounts for pennies on the dollar. And when you do that, you can start with a small habit. Now, what happens is when you dollar cost average, which is to just systematically put money away every single month, it is a set amount of money on a set day of the month in a fluctuating market. Now, some people will say, why would I want to put my money away into a fluctuating market? There's no guarantee in that. Well, let me ask you this. What's the guarantee in going to the bank? 0.01%? Or what's the benefit of going to, say, get a CD? 3%? Well, inflation naturally is 2 to 3%. But this year and, what, in the last year, it's been over 7.5%. So if you had your money in a bank, you actually lost money. And if you had your money under your mattress, you lost money. If you had it in a shoebox, you lost money. If you had it in a money market account, you lost money. So we have to develop a habit of savings simply because if we do not, then we totally miss out on the magic and the beauty of compounding interest, which, you know, is explained best through the rule of 72. So, you know, you spoke of credit cards earlier, and what a lot of people don't realize is we could put credit cards and investments side by side using the rule of 72. So I'm going to give you guys an example. Think about if you had a credit card and that credit card has a $10,000 limit on it. What if you maxed out that credit card? Well, naturally, you didn't have the $10,000 to begin with, which is why you spent it. But now you're in a position where that balance is going to gain interest. Well, how quickly is that balance going to grow? Well, the rule of 72 says if you take the number 72 and divide it by the interest rate on your credit card, that will tell you roughly how many years it's going to take for that $10,000 balance to double to $20,000, and then again to $40,000, and so on to where you're so deep you can't get out. Now, let's say we do what it is that we were just talking about, which is pay cash instead of credit, right? We might have to get a little tight and squeeze the nickel till the buffaloes come. But if we do, then we can take that same $10,000, put it into an investment account. Maybe you get what the economy averages. That's where the bank takes your money, right? So you get what the economy averages. Right. And now let's say you get 6, 7%. Okay, 72 divided by whatever interest rate you're getting. That's going to tell you how many years it's going to take for your investment to double. So you decide, do you want to use rule of 72 for yourself or against yourself? But you can start with as little as $25, $50. You just have to talk to somebody that can put you in a place, you know, to be able to do that in a proper portfolio. But, yeah, you know, you have to do it on a regular basis, man.
I love it. Either work, either invest in yourself or invest against yourself. You can invest in yourself or you can invest in Citibank.
Brother Jarek, I know you're still on, but hold on for just a moment. It looks like we have a hand up. Caller 7888. You have a question?
Assalamu alaikum.
Go ahead. You're live on the air. Well, alaikum assalam.
Okay. Ramadan Mubarak. Praise be to Allah.
Ramadan Mubarak. Tell us your name and where you're calling from.
This is Bilal from New Orleans, Louisiana. That's something I wrote. Alhamdulillah, it's something I wrote I'd like to share with the audience. Free market,
sure.
Free enterprise, do or die. You must envision ourselves as on the great institution. Hope not dough. Why are we moving so slow with what we know? Good intention must be mentioned. Schools, private children, education, international trade, we are not the walking dead. To remake the world, we must serve. The name of this poem is The Gravy Train. No nation prosperity bigger than our lives reality. The masses adjusting to poverty, establishing peace or a life of misery. Personal on us, increase faith and trust. Respect the needed, go to water with the greedy. Dynamo Elijah Muhammad reformed the poor. His son brought us to the reality. Imagination and strong faith could open many doors. We deserve more than a spot at the sleep market or a corner grocery store. We must be courageous and bold, building on what we know. Free thinkers, not a bunch of Negroes. No person or politician could compare with the prophet. This example is the best. He's our direction from the creator of all system of knowledge. We need a strategy to build loyalty, a good person like us, allies that we can trust. Superstition from those, when you ask them how they're doing, they say we down on our luck. That language is weak. How can it be tough? The Quran is rabbit hole. You aren't the same folks, alcoholics, sexual free, struck out of dope. We must put great and productive value on our citizenship. Community life, result of work and proper worship. Once again, we are building our communities on side of America, utilizing mutual consultation, interfaith, and race reconciliation. We will do for self. We will acquire generational wealth. Not going anywhere until we get our fair share. No more SNAP. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam. Very well said. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for that, brother. Thank you for that. And for I want to give our guest. Our listening audience, if you want to call in and make any comments or ask any questions, you can call into the live studio at 515-605-9891 and push 1 on your phone and get into the queue. Again, we are live here with Map 5 with Money on My Mind. So keep your money on your mind, your mind on your money. You remember that song? sorry,
I thought you made that up, but I didn't remember that song.
I'm sorry, it just hit me that that was a song. My money on my mind, and my mind on my money. I'm telling on myself because I was, what was that, 80s, 90s? both of you, really quick, so before we get out of this segment, what are 3 tips that we can give people besides getting your ego in check and realizing you don't have it? You are not Instagram people. You need to get off social media and TV and quit trying to live like them people. They lying anyway. They're lying. They don't live their lifestyle. These people on Real Housewives, everybody, whoever's listening, they're renting those houses. It's not their houses. It's a TV set. Quit trying to live on your people.
Yeah.
That's why you're going broke. Quit.
Yep.
You can't wear but one
That's
pair
sure.
of shoes at a time. You can't wear. You can't drive
you know,
one car at a time. I don't know why you.
It's funny you say that because I was talking to a friend. I've never watched one of those shows, incidentally, but I was talking to a friend, actually my
Me
brother,
either.
About this years ago. And he said, do you realize that most of the housewives of these athlete, I forget what the name of it was. He said, they're divorced. They're not even married to him anymore. I'm like, oh, boy.
Thank you. They're not even housewives. How do you have a show called Housewives and they're not even housewives? Like, good Lord. Man,
well, first of all, I want
I'm
that.
A wife and I'm not
like
even
it.
A housewife.
I know that's right. number one thing we've got to learn, and I'll leave it for the sister, and I want to compliment her. We speak the same language.
Yes, sir.
The number one thing we have to learn to do, and I would like to say even before we get a job, we have to learn to pay ourselves first, take that 10 to 15
Absolutely.
To 20%. And put it in an account set aside for us before we pay everybody. Who was
Thank
it that
you.
Said? I think it was Warren Buffett is quoted as saying, you don't spend and save what's left over. You save and spend what's left over.
There you go.
And if we save first, we need a budget. I read a book years ago called Money is My Friend, and it believed and taught and advocated for a percentage budget where you take what you earn, of course, you pay yourself first, you pay your taxes, your tithe or, you know, whatever your way of giving back is, and then the rest you have to learn to live on. And, of course, housing comes next and on down the list. And at the bottom is fun and leisure, I'd like to say. But most people, especially in America, have fun and leisure first, and they justify it by saying, I worked hard. I deserve this.
Mm-hmm.
And then they, of course, typically because they don't have a system, a budget, or whatever you want to call it, they tend to indulge in the fun and the, you know, having fun and eating out, and then, of course, there's nothing left for the rest of some of the important things. That's one of the biggest problems
right.
we have in America today. And, of course, it's so easy. Now you don't even need a credit card. You can just swipe your phone or your watch
yeah.
and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
So
we've
got to change our thinking. And if we don't change
yeah.
our thinking, nothing else will change.
Right. Well, Debbie
Man,
Brown.
Think it's so easy. Yep.
Yeah, Debbie Brown crying.
It'll be somebody else's fault. It won't be their fault. It'll be somebody else's fault.
Exactly. Yeah, thank you. Ms. Safisha,
all right,
what you
well,
got for?
Yes. And thank you so much for that, Mr. Gaines. I definitely do believe we speak the same language. So just a pleasure to hear all your points of view today. I think in my opinion, for sure, three things that we have to focus on just as a community, we have to increase our value, like our personal value. When we look at ourselves in the mirror, if we do not increase our personal value, then we will always only ever see ourselves as good enough for the opportunities that are given to us rather than the ones that we're willing to go take. So, you know, we can be district attorney like Brooke Jenkins. We can, you know, be Malia Cohen. We can, you know, we can stand on the top of these mountains so long as we believe in ourselves. But we start with believing in each other, right? And then once you increase your value, I feel like you have to then leverage your value. So once you understand, you know, what you're capable of doing, whether that's at a job, in a business, as an investor, no matter what it is, then we can fall into getting our financial habits in place, because you can't have financial habits, you know, if you don't have any finances. It just doesn't work that way. So you can have a mindset that says I'm financially fit, but then you have to put yourself in a space to have tangible financial assets. Even if it's only $25, you could become a millionaire from it. I'll keep saying it. But, you know, you have to then, okay, go find out what insurances are best for you. And we won't talk about those specifically, but insure your family. You create wealth generationally from insuring your family. So insure your family, insure your assets. The thing we see the most is individuals riding around improperly insured. If you hit somebody, you are further in debt,
yes,
not to mention
yes,
you
yes,
lose the
yes,
asset.
Yes.
So insure yourself properly, right?
Say it again.
Yes.
Say it again for the people in the back.
Insure yourself.
Say it again.
life insurance, auto insurance, health insurance, renter's insurance, or if you're a homeowner, homeowner's insurance, health insurance. Get all those things in place, and you need to have a living will, and if not a trust, if you want to go a little bit further to wrap it all up, right? But you need to ensure the things that are valuable to you. There's no reason we should have cell phone insurance but don't have life insurance. There's no reason we should have that, right? So if you got cell phone insurance, you need to have life insurance, auto insurance. And then lastly, you know, you
have to. Take them to church. Take them to church.
Yeah, the last thing is, you know, once you have those finances in you, you get your policies in place, go get yourself 3 fundamental investment accounts, please. And if you are listening with a pen, write this down. I need you to have an emergency account because emergencies are for emergencies, right? Something that happens in the next, 24 hours, your water heater bursts or something like that. You need money. And the cash advance place, that's not our emergency money, and neither are our credit cards, or neither are our friends or our family, right? We need to handle it ourselves. So first account is an emergency fund, preferably not your savings account. It's too easily accessible. Maybe like a money market investment firm, something like that. Take 24, 48 hours to get the money if you need it. Yeah, no impulse shopping, right? Second account. We need a short-term investment account. You might have more than one, but do you want to do something over the next 2 to 10 years? Do you want to buy a house, send your kids to college, go on vacation, pay cash for a car? Do you want to do something that's going to require you to have a lump sum of money, but it's not retirement? All right, that's your short-term investments, right? And then lastly, you need retirement accounts. You might want to split this into two because you need a tax-deferred and a tax-free retirement account. So if you want to know more about that stuff, you can always ask, but those are the things you need to do, right? Increase your value, get some finances for your financial plan, and then once you do, put those 3 fundamental investment accounts in place with your proper insurances, guys. So those are my 3 tips for the day.
Hey,
thank you
so much.
Now, before you guys go, go ahead.
I want to say this in piggybacking off of what you just said. You know, one of the questions I ask people frequently is, what is your most valuable asset? What is your most valuable asset? And if they own a home, I can guarantee you they're going to say their house. If they don't own a home, you know what number two is? Their car.
What's that?
Their car.
Yeah.
And I said, no. Your most valuable asset is your ability to earn income. You are your most valuable asset.
Because without you, nothing else matters.
But they're insured up on the car. If hopefully they don't have California minimum. I'm in California. And they're insured up on their house. I said, but your most valuable asset, you don't have insurance on. What happens if you get in the car accident and you're paralyzed? You can't work anymore. You're ruined. Yeah, I tell them, don't send me a GoFundMe.
Exactly. Don't.
Anyway.
So I need to do 2 things before we get out of here. Before you get out of here, tell them how they can get a hold of you. And I'm going to post this on my, actually yours, I can post it on my, I'm going to post it on social media when I get out of here. But if you want to say it, shout it out real quick, or you want me to just post it? I know you have another webinar.
Real quick, shout it out.
You want to say it real quick?
I'll shout it out. Shout it out real quick. First name is Jorick, J-O-R-I-C-K. Phone number 510-421-1429. And you can see me on the web at Jorick. That's JORICK.GAINES at howmoneyworks.com.
Thank you so much.
Oh, and I'm also on social media for all of you.
All right.
With the same name.
All right.
Perfect. This
is Stephisha Ikoy Walton. You can reach me at 310-654-8820. Now, look, I am a Series 65 licensed investment advisor. I hold a life insurance license. I hold a Series 6, a 63, a 26, a 65, and a mortgage loan origination license. So when you sit down with me, you're going to get educated first about your finances, right? Then we'll put some stuff in place. You can find me on all platforms, Bulletproof Group, and group is GRP.
So that's BULLETCROOSGRP, Bulletproof Group. I hope to see you guys all, and I hope I brought you some value today. Thank you guys so much for having me.
Absolutely, and this is what we're going to do. So everybody out there, I know this was like drinking from a fire hose, and I just want to let you know this. I'm going to pull these two magnificent individuals and a couple more together. We are going to have a national town hall on financial literacy in July, on a Sunday in July, either the 23rd or the 30th. Stay tuned for this, because this is something our community needs. And so I'm going to bring these two individuals back and some others. We are going to have an in-depth, this two-hour discussion on just this, what we need to do so that we're not, so that they can give you even more information. But this right here, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to tell you right now. I'm going to call my mom, and I'm going to tell her, my mom, my stepfather, I'm going to say thank you. Because
do it, man.
I was mad when I was younger. I was mad when I was younger. I was mad.
Primerica changed my life. Thank you.
But I was mad when I was younger. I was mad. I was like, this ain't even right. This ain't fair. Everybody else gets stuff to sit here and send you an accounting every month of what I'm spending when I was in college. But yeah, they taught us. They taught us well.
Yes, they did.
Yeah, they did. But it didn't feel like it when we were growing up.
Hey,
it didn't feel like it did.
You know, most growth pains don't feel well when you're doing it. It's when you get to the end of that road and you're so happy you did and you just didn't realize it, just like you're saying right now. But it's well worth the ride.
Yeah. It is. I'm glad I learned it. I can't say that for my brothers, but I am glad I did. The girls learned it. The four of us did. But, yeah, the other ones are learning the hard. They learned the other one. I appreciate you guys. Thank you so much. You're welcome to stay on as long as you can, because we have a dynamic speaker coming on right now, a former Miss Olympia, or the Miss Olympia, period. And she's coming on. She's a transformational leader, an international speaker. And she's coming on to connect the dots between financial fitness and being fit for life. And she'll be on right after this quick break. Thank you so much. Give us just a moment.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate you.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Edward Willis, advisor at Graceline Community, asking you to join me in supporting community-wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360. Make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or phone in your pledge to 910-317-0297. Again, make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or by phone at 910-317-0297. Together, we can remake the world. Thank you.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Sister Khalida Akbar, Program Manager for American Muslim 360. Thank you for supporting the CWSC Annual End of Year Telethon to help us financially secure our intelligentsia operations. We are believer supported. Take a moment now and help us reach our $10,000 goal by making your tax-deductible contribution at cwsc.us. Click on the blue donate button located at the top right of our homepage to make a convenient, safe, and secure contribution online in whatever amount is comfortable for you. It's not the size of the contribution, but it is each of us doing our part to the best of our ability. You can make a one-time or recurring contribution, which enables us to better forecast our operating revenue and know we have your support each month to maintain and expand our operations. If you have any difficulty at all making your gift, please call us at 910-317-0297. A representative will be happy to assist. You can also go to paypal.com to make a payment by credit card to CWSC. Our most popular reoccurring gift level is just $9.99 a month or 33 cents a day. It's a small individual amount based on all of us doing our part to ensure our intelligentsia is strong and ready to remake the world. A recurring contribution means the monthly amount is automatically deducted from your designated account to CWSC. You can cancel it anytime. Of course, while your contributions are tax deductible, it is the multiplied blessings of charity, especially during this month, that give the greatest rewards for our generosity. You can also call in your gift by phone at 910-317-0297. Include your name, telephone, and email, and a representative will assist you with making your contribution. You can also mail it in. If you make your check out to CWSC, you can mail it to CWSC Marina, M-A-R-I-N-A, Village, V-I-L-L-A-G-E, 4905 34th Street, South, number sign, 185, St. Petersburg, Florida, 33711-4511. Together, we can remake this world into a better place for all people.
All right, all right, all right. We are back. We are back. We are back.
You know, I wanted to make comments, but I didn't want to interrupt our guests. And the pressing one, for some reason, I think it's the network I'm on. I have T-Mobile. It doesn't raise the hand. So I'm sorry. Yeah. I didn't want to be rude with the guests. The second time we're on the show, they'll just have to get used to me jumping in. But there's something that I wanted to bring forward to Sister Safisha. Am I saying her name correctly? Because I had some friends, I think, who were working with Prime America, too. And at the time, I didn't have as much of an understanding as I have now. I don't have a full understanding now. And I think that for MAP 5, we should bring on. There are some constraints with us in terms of dealing with interests. And I know that this Western system is built on compound interest and the benefits of compound interest. We have the same concept of compounding the benefit that you get from your investments, but it's based on giving of zakat. God tells us in our holy book that you don't lose anything when you give in charity, or what we call zakat, or sadaka is another terminology. The zakat is something we're obligated to give, which is 2.5% above and beyond what we utilize in a year, taking care of our necessities and obligations. And so the issue here for us in America in terms of interest in certain things is a big problem, maybe for the individual who may not be, let's say, at the star athlete, the Shaquille O'Neal, or the star entertainer, those that they say are at the billion-dollar level now. Those who are what we would call the striving poor or the middle class, as individuals, we're more hampered in this society, which is based on interest.
in terms of, for an example, mortgage interest, you know, buying a piece of property. There are many Muslims who really hold strictly to not getting involved in interest, that they will just rent because they don't want to pay mortgage interest. So as a result, there were some Muslims of higher economic value who put together a collective. There are about three or four at least existing now in this country where you can buy a home without those mortgage interest payments, but it is based on like a rent-to-buy type of arrangement. And so Muslims in this country are forming kind of alternative structures so that we can make the kind of advancement that you're talking about and still stay within the guidelines of our holy book, the Quran. So that's an important thing for our audience to know, that we are mindful of that. And I think that a meeting of the minds of those of you who work in the financial sector can help Muslims in forming those kinds of collective and cooperative structures that will have us in accord with our Islamic principles and yet still be able to make advancements in the society, because God tells us, you know, don't forget your share of this world, but for us as believers, the next life, the hereafter, is the greater investment that we make. So when we give in zakat, especially during these last 10 days of Ramadan, when we're giving and we're charitable during this time, that's an investment in our hereafter, our life to come. So I wanted to make that point. And we're told also that the zakat that we give, it's really purifying the provision that we receive from God. And we know that what we receive, the Arabic term is risk, one of the terms is risk, that which we receive, that's ordained for us from the Creator. And there are things that we can do to increase the risk that we get, if not in this life, definitely in the next. One thing I was going to say in terms of tips for us on the communal level to be able to advance, and this is something that I learned from being in the Nation of Islam and the work of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and that is the communal effort in terms of pooling our monies together in order to make examples of making material achievements. You had people in the early days of the Nation of Islam who they picked up rags, they picked up scrap metal, you know, they did housework, they did all of these things, but they were able to build up a community that purchased and worked thousands and millions of acres of land to be able to produce from the land, you know, vegetables and livestock. The brother made the joke earlier about stock investment. And those were real things that very poor people were able to accomplish through the collective effort. And the other thing that I learned in terms of the Nation of Islam was, and this is general knowledge in financial circles, your community is successful the more you have your dollars circulate in your community. So I'll make an effort to go to a Muslim meat market because I want that dollar to flow in our community, or I'll have my insurance agent to be a Muslim because I want my dollars to flow in the community, or my doctor or my dentist. So when we have those kind of practices of circulating that dollar in our community, that's how on the community level our community can advance and grow economically. And we know stories of Black Wall Street. I mean, this is what people were doing in that area. They were circulating their dollars among themselves. And this is what angered the other supremacists of that area, because they saw that money was flowing in that community, and that community was prospering and growing. And so those are just
right.
Some comments that
I agree. I do think that, and this is going to be good at the national town hall, because this has come up before. But I do want, because I've asked about this before in other settings, and then I want to get to Cheryl. But I do know that we've had this conversation. We've had this conversation before about the difference between interest and usury. Usury is not allowed in Islam, but interest. Reasonable interest is allowed. And those who are strict about not paying any interest, I mean, that's a whole different conversation. So I do want to make sure that I will tackle that too at the national conference, at the national town hall, because that's a whole different conversation. Because there's also people who don't have insurance because they don't want to pay the insurance broker. And that leads to a whole different conversation, because they're misreading what our duties are as believers. And I don't prescribe to it. And I own a house. I pay the interest for my house. I don't pay usury, but I do pay interest. And so I think that it is in the interpretation of our duties, but I do think that we owe it to our communities and to ourselves to make sure that we are not misinterpreting what our duties are. But I want to make sure we tackle that. We've got like a 2-hour window to talk. We can't do that now. But thank you for bringing that to my attention. I just made a note of it to make sure that we tackle that at that meeting. But I want you to hear from this dynamic speaker. I've been trying to get her on the show, and I'm so glad to hear that she's here. Cheryl Grant, she is phenomenal, you guys. So Sister Mataliva, you'll hear why I was excited to have her on this show. For those of you who don't know, it is International Black Women's History Month, as well as Financial Fitness Month. This International Black Women's History Month started in 2016, 2017 in Atlanta. A woman decided that, I know we have Black History Month and we have Women's History Month, but we need something that spotlights the wonderful achievements of Black women in the diaspora, not just Black American women, but Afro-Caribbean, Afro-European, Afro-Asian, Afro-Latina, Black women in the diaspora. And so she got a proclamation done, and the governor of Georgia signed off on it, and it became this international thing. So I was determined that we would do something this month to highlight that. I met Cheryl, I think it's been about 10 or 12 years, and she was going through a period of her life, right, where you were realizing that you wanted to transition from corporate America, and you were going through this transition, and you were training for, you were doing fitness training, and then she was training for Miss Olympia. You hadn't quite won yet. And then at the age of 55, she won Miss Olympia. I don't know how mind-boggling that is for all of you people, but that was mind-boggling for me. She had changed, and then she started this.
There's still help for you.
She started, I know. Maybe that's why I'm so mind-boggling. And she didn't just. And I'm saying this now, which is why it's so appropriate that she's here during Ramadan, because she didn't just realize that I can change my body, but I can change my mind. I can transform my mind as well as my body, and I can transform my life. I don't have to be a leader in this corporate world that is also my mental state is not where I want it to be. Yes, I'm doing all these wonderful things in the corporate world, but I'm not happy. So she started this really revolutionary program that she calls FIT, and I'm going to let her tell you about it, because when she first started it, I got a little giddy. So I'm going to let her tell you what FIT stands for. Cheryl, welcome to the program, and thank you so much for giving us your time today. Come talk to us.
Oh my!
What is FIT?
I am sitting over here listening to your story, and I am just feeling just, my heart is full right now. First and foremost, I just want to thank you and your audience for giving me this amazing opportunity to share my story and my journey with you. I feel honored. I feel blessed. And right now, energy is everything to me. I'm just like feeling on top of the world. So thank you. And thank you, my friend, for being a leader in this community, for being someone who's always in the forefront, fighting for the rights of your community and others. And I just want you to know that when you ask me to jump, the only thing I say is how high. How high do you need me to jump? Because we're going to do it. Absolutely.
Yes.
And you've been that way for me and to me and with me since the first day that I met you. You are my sister, and I thank you. I thank you for the light in the world.
Thank you.
So what do you want to know?
Thank you. I want to know, what is FIT and what does it mean to be FIT? I want them to know that what FIT is and what does it mean to be FIT?
So first, I think it would behoove me to start at my humble beginnings. I am a proud mother of two amazing sons, both college graduates, one from Cal Berkeley, All-American, the other one from Menlo College in Atherton. I'm a proud grandmother of a two-year-old, and I just feel really blessed in my life. I am a small business, and we're a family-ran business, and I really am honored to be able to work with my sons on this journey. So I started in corporate America 30-plus years ago, and for most people, they will call it a glass ceiling. But for Black women and women of color, it's not a glass ceiling. It's a brick ceiling, and there's a very fundamental difference between the two. One is penetratable, and the other one is not. And even if you do find the appropriate tools in which to dismantle it, before you can take one brick down, two more have been put in its place. And for me, I was at the top of my game. I was young and vibrant and so excited just to be a part of this corporate community, but I could not, for the life of me, figure out how to break that brick ceiling. And so much so that it started to wear me down, both mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and physically. You try to continually do something, and it's not working for you. And the thing for me that was so sad was because I was at the top 2 to 3% of the company, and I couldn't understand why wasn't I able to break through. And I started becoming depressed, having anxiety issues, really starting to take it personal. And it was at that point, I always wanted to go on a fitness journey, and I think that was about the time that I met you. I was really struggling between the two because the world told me, and even as a small child, you know, to get a job, work hard, keep your head down, and you people will take notice and you will make it. Well, that didn't turn out to be true for me and true for a lot of other people. And so I embarked upon this journey to transform from the inside out, and I entered into my first fitness competition ever in my life at the age of 55. And the first competition that I entered, I took the title. It was 2017. I was 55 years old. I took the title of March of 2017. My first competition, I took first place, championship, and then I went on to become Miss Olympia. But that journey did something for me emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. It transformed my life. It wasn't so much about the title, although it was beautiful to be able to achieve that.
It was about the process that I went through mentally and emotionally to get to that end result. And what I realized is that there was a common thread amongst everything that I did. And I came up with a company, and my name of my company is Cheryl Grant International, but I have a DBA called Fit for Business and Fit for Life. And Fit for me stands for faith, intuition, and tenacity. Is your ability to believe in the unseen. Your ability to believe in what's not possible, that wasn't possible for me. There's no way that I thought that I can compete with these 2,500 women around the globe and win this title. So you have to have a vision. That's where faith comes in. And then intuition is learning to trust myself. How do we learn to quiet out the noise in this world that we live in and all the negativity and really tap into that inner voice that's speaking to us constantly and tapping into that to allow it to navigate us to our North Star? And then tenacity is just the will to get it done. And so I've created a curriculum and a platform where I teach these methodologies, not only B2B to corporations, but also to consumers, and helping them to develop the mental framework necessary. But the beautiful thing about that is with most personal development programs, you're left with, well, okay, now that I'm mentally fit, what do I do? And one of the greatest gifts that we have, and I developed this program in my grad when I went to grad school, and it's called the C4 Matrix. And it's simple, but it's powerful. And I called it C4 to represent dynamite, because it is dynamite. And the C4 Matrix starts with communication, creates connection. Connection creates collaboration. And collaboration creates community. And when you build community, you can change the world. So those two formulas to me are transforming the way that I want to impact 50 million women around the globe to help them empower themselves to live their most audacious life starting now.
I love it. I love it. I love it.
That's it. I mean, I'm here to answer questions and to be a light.
No, I thought
to
be
my.
Okay.
I was saying that dynamite when you say C4, communication, connection, collaboration, community. That
yes,
covers
ma'am.
It all.
Yes, and our power lies within us. I think that for me, the journey and what I have learned is that when I was in those systems, what I really realized is that there were truly, I talked about the brick ceiling, there truly are systemic systems in place that are trying to prevent us from being our most audacious self. But I also had built those same brick walls within my own mind. So not only am I breaking through the world's brick walls, I'm breaking through my own brick walls about what beliefs that I've tapped into that's tying me up and stopping me from being my best self. And I think as we begin to move forward in our lives and really step forward as we approach life, we're all very, there's a lot of things that we have in similarity, but there's a lot of differences. Where I was in my 20s is not where I was in my 30s. Where I was in my 30s is not where I was in my 40s and 50s and now 60s. And I'm entering my second competition to shoot for the title again at 60. Well, who says I can do that? I do. I'm going to answer that question. I do. And why do I say that? Because
yes.
We give ourselves permission. And, you know, they say you do things, and I can't think of the cliche, but it's basically don't ask for permission, beg for forgiveness. Sometimes we have to step forward in a way that boldly enables us to have the things that we wish in our lives. And when you have a faith and a belief system and the power, then we start to operate and not always from the framework of what's not possible, but what is possible. And that little perception can change everything because it changed it for me. And I want to change it for everybody around the globe. Our thinking is everything. What we believe is everything. And how we condition ourselves. And there is things that we have not because we ask not. And I say, ask for what you want to see. Knock and the door shall be open. Believe that you can achieve, and you will. And through my fitness program, I'm not only talking about physical fitness, because physical and fitness is important, but also mental fitness. If we're not taking – your health is your wealth. If you're not taking care of
that's
your
body –
That's
what I wanted to talk about.
Yes. If you're not taking care of your body, and how you take care of your body is, what are you eating? What are you putting in your body? Because you are truly what you eat. It affects you in every different aspect. One of our worst enemies is sugar. Sugar, it's studies that have been proven, sugar is, and they did a study on rats, is worse than cocaine. Sugar is our enemy. How are we taking care of ourselves? You have to take care of the body first, and I'm a firm believer in what I put into my body, and this fitness journey taught me that. I had to become very disciplined in terms of what I was eating every day and being very mindful about what I was putting in my body and asking me the question, is this going to fuel me or is this going to weigh me down? So my eating is everything. I want to pause there because I can talk, as you can see, and I want to make sure I open it up for the two of you if you have questions.
I'd love this because is this going to fuel me or is this going to weigh me down? Go ahead, Sister Martha, because I do have a question because I want to connect this to back to money. Go ahead. Go ahead, Sister Martha.
Okay. The question is, what tips do you have, Sister Cheryl, for people? They always talk about the barrier that can exist in communications when it comes to having those difficult kind of conversations. Sometimes it might revolve around money and economic issues and, you know, interpersonal relationships. Do you have any tips for us and our listening audience for the kind of difficult conversations you have to have in life?
Yeah, I absolutely do. And the first conversation I'm going to say is the most important one, and that's with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have to start with you first. You are the man in the mirror. And when you start with you, then you open yourself up to have the ability to have a conversation with you. One of the things we talk about, and I think is really overrated, we talk about communication often. Communication is not a monologue. Communication is a dialogue. And the difference between the two is one is a one-way street and the other one is a two-way street. And the ability for us to sit here today and communicate means that I have to be willing to speak and then stop and listen. And even if sometimes in the face of those views that don't agree with me, and being able to take it in and not take it personal, created what they call the triangulation effect. It's me and you talking about it. And when mm-hmm. we do that, then we take away the personalization and the attack of it. Attack of it makes us defensive, and it makes us not want to communicate. So communication is a very powerful tool, but communication is about our ability to engage, our ability to listen, our ability to not only listen, but our ability to hear. And sometimes even being able to hear what's not being said so much as what's being said, and to have a conversation around it that gets us to an end goal. And so in all of this, when you really think about it, I will say, and it ties back, you know, the universe, and it's so beautiful and amazing. You know, the sun rises every day without our help, right? And it sets without our help. Things happen for a reason. When we tap into the flow of things, I think things move across more effortlessly. Now, that's not to say that we're not going to have issues, because in life we know that we have barriers. We have them every day. It's not so much the barrier, it's our approach. And what we have to do is not work harder but smarter. Does that make sense?
Yes. Makes a lot
and
of sense.
And tying this back to everything that we do, when you think about it, especially for women over the age of 50 in this audience, you know, one of the things that women lose
is muscle mass. And so we have to be very intentional about how we're taking care of our bodies, because as we get older, that's why it's so easy to fall. And if you fall, you can break a bone or break a hip, and your recovery time is a lot harder. That we have to make sense about how we're taking care of the financial impact of that. You know how much money is spent on health from people not taking care of themselves? If you don't do it now, you're going to pay it later. So when you tie it back, Cheryl, you said to financial gain, your health is your wealth. If you don't have your health, how can you do anything? Because it becomes a priority. So, and it doesn't have to be, I think sometimes we get overwhelmed and we think that it has to be this huge undertaking, and it doesn't. Walking is a form of exercise. Slightly changing your daily habits every day, the time you eat, what you're actually eating, is it fueling your body? And it also helps you with mental thinking and clarity in the decisions that you make. One of the things I will tell you very strongly through my journey through fitness, it changed my life and how I did everything. The people I spoke to, the conversations I had, everything shifted for me. My business shifted for me. Everything shifted because my thought process changed. In the beginning, I was doing things, and this is not, I never, my framework in when I'm communicating is always to inspire. So it's never to judge. But my habits before were doing things that were not, my friends wanted to go out and drink or go out and eat. And eat things that weren't fueling my body. I had to change my circle because I was on a mission. I was on a mission to transform my body, and I could no longer do the same things. But let me tell you what I also did. By eating healthy, staying in, cooking my food, do you know how much money I saved? How much money I saved on doing outside things that were not even within my budget to begin with? To gain amazing. Amazing. It transformed my life, and it transformed your life, too.
Great advice.
Yeah, I'm over here feeling very, but it's silence on the other end.
I love this. I love it. There is one, because you said that, trust me, I read everything, because I'm connected to your blog. Because there's two things that I wanted you to and everybody check it out. Check it out at chant.com. There's one thing that you say, because the greatest wealth is your health, but the one about making sure that we invest in ourselves, because your health is an investment, not an expense. Can you just quickly talk about that? Because I love that. I love just that title, because we're talking about financial fitness and we're talking about what fit means. But when you say it to people, that your health is an investment in yourself, not an expense. Because when you talk about working out, I got to pay the gym, I got to pay a personal trainer, I got to go buy some healthy food. You know how much it costs at Whole Foods and Trader Joe's? I can't go to Berkeley Bowl every day. So can you please talk to people about... Because I tell people, they say, Cheryl, being a vegan is hard. I'm a vegan, for everybody who's listening. They're like, I don't know how you can do it. You got to take all this extra time, and you got to read stuff.
It is hard.
Yes, you have to read. It's hard, but, you know, it's
an investment.
If you've ever tasted an apple, if you've ever tasted an organic apple versus an apple, they've just pulled from somewhere else, you know, that's been sprayed with all these pesticides. If you've never tasted the difference, and I always tell people, you're going to pay for it one way or the other, so you need to pay this extra 10 cents for this organic apple, or you're going to be on somebody's hospital table. So take your pick, because, you know, it's going to happen one way or the other. So can you just talk about just that thing that you had? I just love these. So can you just give us a few words on this?
Yes, absolutely. And in one of the things, Cheryl, you just said so well, is that this is an investment in yourself, but it will pay dividends beyond measure. Investing in your health is everything. You'll either pay for it now or you'll pay for it later. And there are things that you can do outside of investing in your health. It doesn't have to be, it doesn't have to be hard. What it does have to be, it's intentional. You are intentionally deciding to do something. And there's a big difference. Again, when I started off, I talked about mindset. Your mindset is everything. Your mindset about what you do is everything. And the mindset of when I'm taking care of myself, and you mentioned the difference between an organic apple and a regular apple. If you've never tasted one, you should, because they're very different. They're very, very different in taste and in texture. And everything we do in life, we've been so conditioned that we go with the norms. And a part of your ability to take care of yourself is to educate yourself. Knowledge is power, but it's only power when you use it. So if you're not educating yourself on what it is that you're doing, then how do you possess the power to transform it? And this conversation that I'm having about fit is about transformation. I'm not here to have you to continue. They said the definition of insanity is to continue to do the same thing but expect different results. So if you wake up the same way every day, then you're going to continue to get the same results. How do you feel? Are you energetic? Are you at the top of your game? Do you feel energized when you wake up in the morning? Are you ready to greet your day with joy? How are you feeling? If that's not the way you're feeling, something needs to shift. And I'm not saying that you have to be happy all the time. But what I am saying, because happiness is truly an inside job. It's not outside. You don't find it anywhere. You find it within you.
Right.
But a part of that starts with your mindset and how you're taking care of yourself and how you're eating. Your eating is everything. It fuels your mind and your body. Your mind is your most important engine. It's the one that's helping you to make all the choices and decisions that you make. If you're putting things in your body that's not allowing you to optimize this engine that you have, how are you living your best life? And if the results aren't working for you, don't continue to do the same thing. Make different choices. I am convinced at the age of 60, and a lot of people say, well, Cheryl, I couldn't even, at 60, I can't believe that you can bend down and do this. A lot of it is because I invest in me. And it doesn't have to be expensive. There's so much you can do over the internet. The Google, you can do yoga stretching, especially as you get older. Flexibility is everything. You could stretch every day. You don't have to stretch all day. You take 30 minutes out of your day. Prayer and meditation, mandatory for me. Mandatory for me. It's not an option. It's like brushing my teeth. I have to do it because it sets the tone for my day. I'm intentional about what I do. I don't let the day guide me. I guide my day. I make a decision in the morning, I'm going to go work out. I make a decision in the morning, I'm going to do the things necessary to get the results that I want. I'm not going to talk about them. I'm not going to hope that they happen. I'm not going to sit back and read about how it's happening for somebody else. I'm going to live my best life because I want to make sure that I'm optimizing every day that I have an opportunity to be on this planet. And my goal is to reach 50 million women. I can't be here and help you if I'm not walking my talk. I'm not waking up every day with prayer and meditation. I'm not waking up every day making sure that I'm eating right. And my eating right is, you talked about going to Whole Foods. Do you know there's farmers markets in every neighborhood? Every Saturday there's a farmers market, I'm sure, near you. And you support local farm growers, too. So you're not just, you don't have to go to the grocery store. As a matter of fact, I quite frankly, no offense, but I prefer not to go to the grocery store because I always walk out paying $200 to $300 for something and I don't even have anything in my basket that's even worthy of me eating to take care of my body. So I prefer to get up on a Saturday morning early to go to the farmer's market to support my local farmers and to make sure I'm getting the most healthiest produce that I possibly can for my body. If you go to a grocery store, do you know that the only healthy thing in store is in the you section? Everything in between is not good for you. Everything in between is not good for you. Packaged. Everything is on the outer aisles. If you ever notice, produce is on the outer aisle. Your poultry, your fish, everything is on the outer aisles. So it's being mindful.
Tell them why.
It's being mindful.
It really is. And yeah. Tell them, will it happen tomorrow if they start today? Will it happen tomorrow?
No, but this is
because
the
we are in a, we're in a microwave culture. We're in a microwave culture. They want to
but
have
here
it tomorrow.
Goes the
you know, I went in.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And I'll tell you, Cheryl, anything worth having is worth fighting for. And I'm going to tell you
there
this.
You
have to trust the process. It's not so much of where you are, it's where you're going. Where you are and where you've been is not as important as where you're headed. So you have today. Am I going to call you in a month and you're still going to be here today? Am I going to call you in 6 months and you're still going to be in the same position you were? You shouldn't fear about tomorrow. You should be fear about being in the same place. And the only way that you're going to change where you are is to change the way that you think. You have to change your habits, to change the way that you view things that you're doing. You're not eating just for comfort and just for taste. You're also eating to fuel your body. Your body is like a car. Would you take your car and put sugar in it? Would you take your car and go put syrup in it? No, you're going to make sure you put the right gas in your car so that you can make it last as long as you want. Your body is the same. It is an engine that you have to fuel. And if you fuel it properly, it's like our body is one of the most sacred things we can ever take care of. Your body is your temple. Taking care of your body is everything. It is the key to life. It's the key to the future. Your body. Your body.
Yes.
When you take care of your body, you take care of your mind. When you take care of your mind, you take care of your spirit. Feed it.
And that
it's longing
and
for you to
that is the and that is the investment going to get you. So we can talk about all the financial fitness that we want to, you guys, but if you don't get fit that way, you will not, it doesn't matter how much money you have in the bank because you can't take it with you. Cheryl, we're in, coming up at the end of the session. I'm going to have you back on here. In the meantime, how can they get hold of you and how can they take the challenge? I want them to learn
more
about
this. To say to you, please, first of all, thank you again, Cheryl, for this amazing opportunity and
Absolutely.
To your audience. Thank
Absolutely.
You for your listening ear. And I want to say to you that if Steve Jobs could be here today, I'm sure he would trade away everything he owns, Steve Jobs of Apple. He would trade everything, and he did say it in a quote, for his health. But he can't. Even his company couldn't save him. So I want to say to you, you are your greatest investment. Make yourself a priority. And please do, if I can be of assistance, you can log on to my website at www.CherylGrant.com. CherylGrant.com. I am on Instagram. We're currently at about 120,000 followers and growing. I'm on every social media platform, but my name is always Cheryl, CherylGrant. I am a proponent of staying mentally fit so that we can change the world through a new lens and through a new way of being and prepare ourselves to live a long life, to enjoy all that we've worked for and all the fruit of our labor. And I want to thank you. I have programs. I have curriculums. I am here to empower. That is my purpose and passion in this lifetime. And I'm here to help you in any way that I can. And Cheryl, I'm just so honored to have had this opportunity to be on this amazing platform to share my story.
Absolutely. And I will repost this with the link to the program. And I want everyone to keep tuning in. And in the words, Jim Rohn all suffer from one of two pains. Pain of pain or the pain of the difference is discipline wastes. Wet waste tons. Get disciplined. Thank you, Cheryl, for joining us this morning. And thank everyone for tuning in. And we will see you next week. Sister Amatla, you want to say something real quick?
Just Assalamu Alaikum, Ramadan Mubarak, everyone. And seek out the night of power, the night of free, during these final days of Ramadan.
Yes, ma'am. Assalamu alaikum. We will see you all next week, inshallah. Pray for all of those who need healing. And we will, inshallah, see you next week. Assalamu alaikum. Have a beautiful Monday and a wonderful rest of your week. Thank you for joining.